That story about the two people on the road home to Emmaus, I can imagine myself in quite easily. Much more so than the other resurrection stories, because I don't visit stone tombs in gardens, and I don't go out fishing, and I don't go into a huddle with friends in an upper room. But walking home late at night, yes, I've done that. When we lived in London, we used to have season tickets for the Aldwych Theatre. So after work, we'd stay in town, go and have something to eat, then we'd go to the theatre, and then we'd get the tube home, and then it was about a mile up the road home. It was great. I mean, it was lovely going to the theatre, and the tubes are wonderful. But late at night, tube stations in London are just so bleak. And the trains are few and far between. It's not like the rush hour. And we used to get out at South Ealing and trudge up the road well after midnight, thinking, oh, we've got to get up in the morning to go to work. Seemed miles up that road. So I can feel for these people trudging along these 7 miles out of Jerusalem to Emmaus that Easter Sunday evening. It might have been Cleopas and his wife, or it might have been Cleopas and a friend. We just don't know. But they were going over what had happened in Jerusalem. Palm Sunday, then the days before the Passover, then the crucifixion, and now the rumours about the tomb being empty. And because they couldn't make sense of it all, they were going over and over and over it again. Perhaps with a few regrets thrown in. If only Jesus hadn't gone to Jerusalem. If only he hadn't stirred up the crowds by going in on that donkey. If only he hadn't upset the authorities by turning over the tables in the temple. If only... Have you ever been in a situation like that where it seems as if disaster has struck? You know, like losing the whole of a football tournament, you know? You can't really take it in. You keep going over what's happened, what you might have done to contribute to it. And you're absolutely drained emotionally. All you can do is go over and over. And these two people were totally immersed in their own concerns. It was all they could think about. And when somebody joins them, Cleopas is absolutely amazed that he doesn't seem to know what's happened. And how could he not know? And Cleopas is only too willing to go through it all again and tell him about it. Who Jesus was, what happened to him. And all these rumours. The mood is sort of summed up in the words that I think are the saddest words. We had hoped that he was the one who was to redeem Israel. We had hoped. Hopes are dead now. Dreams are shattered. Talk about Jesus being alive just doesn't make sense. And their new companion's quite scathing, really, quite hard on them. How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. And he goes through all the Old Testament references about the Messiah that God would send, what would happen to him. It was all there in their scriptures. Now, we're used to Old Testament readings that point us forward to Jesus. Yes, Joseph, you know them too, I know. We're used to them. And all the modern Bibles give you cross-references, tell you, you know, where these bits come from. But if we'd been in the same position as Cleopas and his friend and all the first disciples, and we'd seen what was happening to Jesus, would we have related that back to things that we'd read in our scriptures? I doubt it. They would have picked up the bits that they were really interested in, like the fact God was going to send a Messiah to save them. But they gloss over the bits about a suffering servant and even being raised after 3 days because it seemed so implausible. But why could Cleopas and his friend not recognize Jesus? Was it that God didn't want them to recognize him straight away? There's all sorts of theories about this. They had their heads down. They were walking into the sunset because Emmaus is west of Jerusalem. The road would be dusty. But Jesus, surely they'd know his voice. These people were part of the inner circle because when they went back to Jerusalem, they knew exactly where to find the disciples. So they would, you know, they would know Jesus quite well. And after the event, they must have wondered themselves why on earth they couldn't see who he was. So let's imagine now what Cleopas might have said when he thought about that night. Gary's going to come and read to us.
We met him there on the Emmaus Road, but still we didn't understand. Can you believe that? Despite the testimony of the women and the apostles, the empty tomb, the vision of angels, still we couldn't take it in. I suppose we'd made up our minds that it was finished. We'd come to terms with the fact that our hopes had been dashed. We just couldn't bring ourselves to think any different for fear of yet more disappointment, yet more broken dreams. Condemn us if you like. But remember this, we had seen him hanging there on the cross, contorted in agony. We'd watched in desolation as he drew his final breath. And we'd been there, tears streaming from our eyes as they cut him down and laid him in the tomb. You don't forget that in a hurry, I can tell you. So when this stranger appeared out of the blue, we thought nothing of it. Why would we? The possibility of him being Jesus was the last thing in our minds. Even when he interpreted the scriptures for us, explaining why the Messiah had to suffer and die, still we didn't suspect anything, though our hearts burned within us with inexplicable joy. But when we sat at the table and he took the bread and broke it, then even we couldn't miss it. The extraordinary, incredible truth. It was Jesus, Christ crucified and risen there by our sides. We thought the adventure was over, but it had only just begun. We thought there was nothing left to us but memories, but suddenly the future beckoned, rich with promise. The night had ended. Life was beginning again. And we marveled at the sheer wonder of his grace, because we didn't meet him that day, despite what we'd thought. He met us.
So it was when these people invited him into their home that they finally realized who he was. His talk about the scriptures had been so interesting that they didn't want him to go. They wanted to hear more. And so they asked him in and sat down to eat. And he did what the host of the house would normally do. He took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. And what a transformation. Luke says their eyes were opened. They knew it was Jesus with them. And all of a sudden, things started to make sense. These two disciples, tired from their walk, exhausted emotionally with the events of the last few days. Down and out, you could say, like Alex and Andy. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. At once. another 7 miles back along the road, and it was dark now, possibly dangerous. They hadn't eaten. But suddenly they got their energy back. They couldn't wait to tell the others. They probably grabbed a piece of bread, grabbed a few olives from the table, but off they went. And perhaps they made better time going back to Jerusalem than they had coming out. It's amazing when you think about it that they had the energy. And they just had to share this news with their friends. If we can identify in any way with Cleopas and his friend, whether it's trudging home late at night or struggling to make sense of a bad situation, or not being able quite to believe the resurrection, or not recognizing that Jesus is with you, if we can identify with any of these things, then we can see ourselves as part of this story, and we can begin to see what it's telling us about Easter and about the Jesus who's alive forever. It's telling us that the risen Jesus wants to be alongside us. Jesus came up beside these people in all their misery, in their lost hopes. And he let them offload the whole sad story of their shattered dreams onto him. Jesus wanted to be there with them, wanted to listen. Jesus wants to be with us in our pain. It tells us that Jesus has the ability to make sense of things. We can go over and over and over in our heads what's happened to us, whether it's a bereavement or an illness or a redundancy or a failure of some sort or a broken relationship, whatever. And we try to understand why this has happened to us, why we can't see a way forward, why our plans have been taken apart. And because we can't make any sense of it, we just go over and over it again. And on our own, we'll never make sense of it. But with Jesus, we will understand. Maybe not right now, but one day it will make sense, and he will carry us through. This story tells us that even if we don't recognize Jesus with us, he's there when we need him. He seeks us out and walks alongside us. He's there. We don't have to go searching for him. But it also tells us that Jesus doesn't force himself on us. We have to ask him in. Just think, if Cleopas hadn't asked Jesus to stay, he would have missed out on all that joy. Just let Jesus walk on. He and his friend would have sat there, still going over and over this, and still being miserable. We have a choice too. We have free will. It's like Holman Hunt's painting, The Light of the World. He stands there knocking at the door of our hearts, but there's no handle on the outside of the door. The handle's inside, and we have to open it and invite him in. But this story also tells us that once invited in, Jesus transforms. He brings new life, new energy, new hope, and a new desire to share the good news with other people. I like the way that Cleopas said in that reading, life was beginning again. Jesus turns our lives round completely. Willie Barclay says that a Christian always walks towards the sunrise, not the sunset. Not towards the place where hopes die and everything fades, but towards the sunrise, towards a bright today and a bright tomorrow. And that's what those two disciples did. They walked into the sunset to Emmaus. They turned round and went back to Jerusalem. Jesus transforms. That's the message for us at Easter. Without Easter, we wouldn't have a living Jesus to be with us and to make a difference. Because of Easter, we have a living Savior who's defeated evil and death, who offers us a future bright with hope. So if your head is down, and we all hit this at some point in our lives, if your head's down, if you've been hit hard by life, if you can't really make sense of things, if you're tired of struggling, if you're full of regrets, if you're finding it hard to believe, Jesus is alive. Jesus lives to be your friend too, to offer you hope for the future, to change your life now. But you need to invite him in. Don't let him just walk on by. Let's pray. Living Lord Jesus, come and reveal yourself to us. Come and transform our lives and drive away all doubts and fears. Fill us with new life, a new hope, and new enthusiasm. New enthusiasm to share with others the wonder of knowing you. Amen.